rest is also about repentance, where we pause and think about how we might have wandered astray from our Lord because we let our thoughts just go into our own pleasures, doing as we please. We have wounded a person. We have hurt them. We have oppressed them without knowing it, because now my thoughts have just gone into what I want, what pleases me, my own ways, and what I want to talk about. And so we come to a point of resting. And as Isaiah called for repentance, so we are to repent. And you in this country know what repentance is, all right. You speak of repenting often, more than in my country and our churches in America. And we need to repent of subtle things, of my selfishness, wanting my way, putting myself before others, putting myself before God. I repent of this, O Lord, talking constantly, taking advantage of someone without recognizing it at the time. Now I must turn. I use this time of solitude to repent. Lord, I repent of putting lesser pleasures above the greater pleasure of being right with you. And I've allowed my leisure activities to be a kind of God that rules my life. Lord God, I repent of trying to do so much for you that I am no longer enjoying you as my ultimate pleasure. And that becomes a real trap for people, for us, for those who are Christian workers, for pastors, that we put so much into helping people that we are no longer close to God and not able to enjoy God. I use the phrase for pastors, what do you have to say to people if you haven't enjoyed God lately? And one of the best advertisements, the most attractive things about Christian people is their joy of the Lord. When you enjoy your God and have found the joy of salvation, you attract people to others, and they'll ask you, what is this you have, this pleasure? At a job where I work, a young lady's come to Christ, and it's caused others to turn and notice her and the changes in her life. And some who are Christians realize that their life has become occupied with their own pleasures and their own conversations, and they don't have what she has, and they want to come back in repentance to enjoy God as much as she does as a new believer. Isaiah is about turning from lesser pleasures to the pleasure of God's people. What do God's people really want? When you come to Christ, you want to be right with God. God's people desire to be right with Him. I've never known a believer who wanted to be wrong in God's sight. If you ever met a believer who says, I want to harm God, I want to do bad, I want to be wrong in God's sight. No, every believer wants to be right in God's sight, but we get lost along the way, and our passion for God is not what it used to be. Right as in being righteous in His sight. That's what right means here. I want to be right with God as in being righteous in His, right in His sight and righteous in His sight. Right as in being right in His presence. Right as a spiritual being, a just person, but right as in I want to be right in His presence. And put it this way, God's people desire to be tight with God, close to God, near to God, close. I've never known a person who didn't want to be near God as a believer. They want to be near. They want to be right in God's view, but they've lost their way. And this is the pleasure of God's people. It's measured not by wealth, not by clothing, not by appearance, but it's measured to the degree you want to be right with God and tight, close to God. You want nothing to separate you. I know of a person who went into a very hard task and situation as a minister. And the decision was made by them as they went back to his own people and would be persecuted. He said, I didn't want anything any longer to come between me and my God. So I will go anywhere, I'll do anything, because the worst thing in life is to allow something, even if it's a leisure activity, something that seems innocent to get between me and my God. I don't want anything to come between me and God. And that's the pleasure of his people. I want to be right with God. I want to be very close, tight with God. And we have numerous verses that speak of this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all the days of our life. God is most glorified, said John Piper, a preacher in the United States. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is so pleased when you're satisfied in him. And it is not hard to be satisfied when God is the one we go to for the satisfaction. And you've heard me talk about this before. If you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, then you will find your joy in the Lord. This is my pleasure. You see, there's Sabbath delight. I don't talk about duty or discipline as much as we need to find our pleasure there, our delight in him, our delight in God. He's waiting for us to have fun with him, pleasure with him, delight. And so the pleasure of his people are being near him, delighted in him. Sabbath rest is exquisite. That means something special, very precious, very desirable. Now, I don't know if you like this animal, but on many plates across the world, around the world, lobster is one of the greatest delight because it's such tender meat within it. And it's known as a delight, a delicacy. Or maybe it's strawberries dipped in chocolate. Now, how's that? Is that a little better? Yes. There are no claws and no antennas with strawberries dipped in chocolate. Everybody I know likes chocolate. So it's a delicacy. Sabbath is not something to be trampled on or thought of lightly or a common thing. Rest with God is something precious and special. It is honorable. Value rest as holy, far above the ordinary. We've already talked about Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. That is the first thing God declared and made holy. Remember, rest is the first thing God made holy. God's people desire to be tight with God through rest. Rest is one of the ways we get close to God. God likes you when you rest. As this picture depicts, it's a father looking at probably his own child, looking at the child and taking pleasure. If you are a mother, a father, or a grandparent, you know how precious it is to open the door and see your child sleeping. They've been playing hard. They've made messes all day. They've dropped dishes, perhaps broken them. They have squabbled and fought all day. And now you look into the room and there they sleep. How precious. God likes you when you rest. And don't forget it. Next time we gather, we'll talk about how we can take this rest that gives us pleasure and God's pleasure, how we can take it and make it our own. What steps can we take to enter into this precious chamber of rest with God Almighty?
We invite you to participate in the International Bible Teaching and Gospel Sharing Project. Whether these Christian expanded educational opportunities will become available to people around the world depends on all of us. We very much need and appreciate your prayer and financial support. For more information, please visit tvsseminary.com.
Lord, we thank you for the time we've spent together today. We thank you for your word, which has taught us. And I rest in you. I trust you, O Lord, that you will allow these verses and these concepts to penetrate according to your will into the hearts and minds of your servants, of your loved ones, of your people. And that as a result, they will delight in you and they will draw others to you. For others will see that there's a splendor beyond what the earth, the world, and mankind can offer. It's the splendor of your work, work in your image, and rest in your image, in your trust, in your perspective, in your Sabbath, in what you desire, and your perspective. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.